Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 55. Should you do your first marathon? Today we'll discuss whether you should do your first marathon and how to know if you're ready. First, who should do a marathon? I mentioned this in another podcast earlier in the summer about first-time marathoners, that when people tell me they're thinking about doing a marathon, I don't encourage them. Now you're probably saying, what? Debbie does not encourage people to do marathons? Let me explain. I don't discourage them either. The thing is, as you know, doing a marathon is a big thing. It takes tremendous resolve, and it's downright dangerous if you don't train properly. For that reason, I believe the decision to do or not to do a marathon is and should be extremely personal. I don't like to see people pushing other runners into it. I don't like to hear them say, oh, do it, you can do it. Come on, let's do a marathon together. It's one thing for somebody to say that about a 5K or a 10K or even a half marathon. But a marathon is a different animal. If you do a marathon because someone else convinces you to do it, then you likely won't have the drive it takes and the level of commitment it takes, what it requires to actually do it right, enjoy it, succeed, and come out the other side uninjured. I don't think any runner should feel like they have to do a marathon to be considered a real runner or a serious runner. Not at all. I just want anyone to take the time to think it over. I want it to always be their decision. Now that said, some of my runners will ask me if I think they can do it or if they're ready to embark on that journey. I'm happy to answer that question. And if they decide they do want to do it, then I am 100% behind them. And I'm 100% excited for them. And I'll then be very encouraging to them. So the deliberation of whether to do a marathon must be addressed from two perspectives. Who can mentally run a marathon and who is actually physically able to run one? You absolutely must be physically able, of course. But even if you are, please consider that that's only 10% of the requirement, unless you have a physical or medical condition that restricts you, and that, I think, is a very small percentage of the population, then you can run a marathon, with sufficient training, that is. Of course, I must include the disclaimer that you should always check with your physician, but that ends up being only 10% of the challenge. The more important limiting factor is whether you have the mental strength to do it. To successfully complete a marathon requires a strong mind and a great work ethic. If you've heard that it's 90% mental, I would agree. But I think most people interpret that to mean that it's 90% mental and 10% physical during the race. But what they don't realize is that that whole saying actually refers to the whole process, from the first week of training through crossing the finish line. In fact, I think that when you take the long view, the big picture, the race itself, it's just a small part of the whole process, of the whole adventure, the whole journey. Let's talk about why the marathon requires such a strong mind. In order to run a successful marathon, you must train diligently for several months. I know that sounds vague, several, but the fact is that the time frame varies considerably depending on the beginning fitness level and beginning base mileage of that particular person. Now remember, your base is your maximum mileage base within any given training cycle. This is critical, and all marathon training plans begin with a long, long week-to-week mileage buildup, followed by an equally important period known as the taper, which is when you back off your intensity 2 to 3 weeks before the marathon. The whole topic of base building and tapering is covered in the first several episodes of this podcast. So if you're not familiar with that, please go back and listen to those episodes. The mental side has four parts, I'd say. Four things that require great mental strength. One would be sticking to your training schedule. Two would be taking days off when you need to, when it's warranted. Three would be making wise decisions along the way, from getting adequate rest to eating well and tapering appropriately. And four would be race day itself. I'll talk about all of these in more detail later. But first, let's also discuss the minimum physical requirement. I would not recommend doing a marathon until you have been running a minimum of a year. and I would say for most people, it should be 2 years. If your body is very healthy, if you have been training wisely for a year, if you've been gradually ramping up your mileage, and if you have not been plagued with running injuries, then I think you could start training for a marathon after only a year of serious running. Now, a year or so ago, I would not have said that, but I've seen it happen, and so I have to say it's possible. For the great majority of people, though, I would not recommend it until you've been running at least 2 years and have done a couple of half marathons. Although, if you've done a couple of runs of half marathon distance, then it's not all that important that you do two actual half marathons. I would say you should have maintained an average of 25 miles per week for at least a few weeks at a time before beginning marathon training. What else? It's key that you not be plagued with injuries. I use the word plagued because the occasional running injury is pretty much unavoidable, realistically, for most people. Some people, though, seem to get injury after injury, even if they train wisely. I think this is often due to their physical structure, their gait, and their running form. All of the above, or just one of those. While such individuals will usually find that they can be a runner and enter races and compete successfully, a marathon is likely not a good decision. This applies to a relatively small percentage of people, though. If you frequently experience injuries, well, that's a whole different topic for another podcast, but until you can go 6 months with no serious injury, I'd postpone thoughts of a marathon and instead concentrate first on perfecting your form, working on strength building, and so on to fix that problem first. What about age? Well, I don't think the number on your calendar is what matters. What matters is your physical health. I've seen plenty of people in their 60s and 70s that were much healthier than people half their age. If this is troubling you, go to YouTube and do a search for a video titled Grandmothers of Endurance. It features a 67-year-old woman, Vicki Griffiths, and a 76-year-old woman, Barb Macklow, both ultramarathon runners. The 76-year-old woman is one of only two runners in their 70s to have completed a 100-mile ultra. That's right, 100 miles. It took 29 and a half hours or something between 29 and 30. And in the video, it says she started running at the ripe age of 51. 51. The other woman, Vicki, now 67, started running when she was 40. The best line in this video is when the 76-year-old says, quote, "At 76, I'm starting to feel my age a little bit sometimes," close quotes. Anyway, I do think it would be wise for anyone who is older or overweight to use a much more gradual schedule. And of course, everyone should check with their physician first. As for me, I ran my first marathon when I was 54 and my first ultramarathon at 58. And there are plenty of older runners. If you haven't watched a marathon, please do go to a marathon and just watch. You'll see representation of every conceivable age and body type of runner. Really, age should not be a barrier. Clearly, no matter how strong your mind, your body must be capable. There is only one way to know for sure whether you can do it, whether you have what it takes, and that is to start training. And with every workout, your answer will be more clear. By the time your race day arrives, if you've trained well, you'll know that you can do it. Confidence will be yours. Another consideration is the time it will take to put in sufficient mileage. Your family and your job will be affected. If you have to work overtime certain months of the year, you'll need to plan your marathon accordingly. And what about your family? That's an issue too. If you have small children, you will find it quite difficult. I won't sugarcoat it. Honestly, when my kids were young, I was a full-time teacher, and there is no way I could have found the time to do enough miles to be prepared for a marathon. I was able to maintain excellent fitness and do plenty of running, but you don't need to run a marathon to do that. And whether it will work for you will depend largely on whether your spouse and your children are on board. I always say, don't feel guilty about taking time away from your kids or your spouse or your friends or your partner to run, because it makes you a better spouse or parent or partner or son or daughter. However, Unlike other shorter events, marathon training takes an extreme number of hours. Make sure you have the support of the whole family. Make sure everyone's on board before you commit. And make sure that they understand exactly what will be involved. And what if you can't figure out a way? Don't fret. One day your kids will be grown and your time will be your own again. Or maybe you just need to wait until they're a couple of years older. Enjoy this time with the kids. You can't get it back. Everybody's situation is different. But if you can't work it out, it doesn't mean you can't do a marathon. Just accept that you need to wait a couple or a few years. What about other factors? It can be just as time-consuming caring for aging parents. I wouldn't take on the goal of a first marathon if you will find it difficult to find time to run, no matter whether the competition for your time is your kids or parents or work or all of these, because then the marathon will add undue stress to your life, and we never want that. Remember, the great thing about the half marathon is that you can pretty much stay in shape for that year round with much less training, meaning you'll have much more flexibility for your life. So if you don't think you can find the time for a full, just do halves for now. There will be time later. This is a good place to discuss finding a schedule, one of the most important things you'll need to do. I recommend that you look over schedules while mulling over the decision of whether or not to do a marathon, because they will give you a good idea of just how many hours you'll need for training and how you can organize it and fit it around the rest of your life. Some will fit with your life schedule much easier than others. You can find schedules at halhigdon.com, coolrunning.com, teamintraining.com. There's one from the Hanson Brothers. There's one from Running Times, Competitor, Runner's World, Jeff Galloway, and many, many more. And also through the website of many marathons. In other words, their marathon itself will have programs for training. I don't currently have my own marathon schedule, but I'm working on it and will likely publish it soon. It will likely mirror my half marathon schedule, which has worked out very well for many people. Anyway, these plans are all good and are all different. Some will have you running as few as 4 days a week, but most will have you running 5 or 6. Some schedules are for 4 months, but some are for 5 or 6 months. I don't really think there is a best plan, particularly for the first-time marathoner. I believe there are likely several plans that will work equally well for each person. Some give specific instructions for cross-training, and others do not. Some tell you how long to run, while others always measure your running in miles. Some have you running on back-to-back weekdays, and some don't. Most, of course, don't. In fact, maybe none do for beginning runners. I haven't actually pinned that down. Most will not include speed work, but some will. However, this is because just building up to that distance is plenty to expect of your body for your first marathon. So don't feel like you need speed work. But I've noticed that some people do, especially if they've been running a while, they still want to do speed work. That's fine too. Remember though, it's your first marathon, so whatever, it will be a PR, right? One major thing to look at is how many weeks does the schedule cover? For your first marathon, I think you should be training for 6 months. However, what you may discover is that you're already running more miles each week regularly than the first few weeks of a beginner runner, of a beginner marathon training plan. If that's the case, just drop into the plan at the appropriate place. For example, let's say you're already doing 30 miles per week and the schedule has the first 30-mile week as week 6. Then start at week 6. Let's say the plan is a 24-week, 6-month plan. So you would count backwards, making marathon race week, week 24. The week before would be 23, and so on. You begin at week 6, if that's where you are now, mileage-wise. Until that week, you just keep running on your normal schedule. There are some other things to do to get your body ready for a marathon, though, and we'll talk about that later. But even if you're not ready to jump in, if you're not at the place where you're going to start on that particular schedule, there are a lot of things that you can do to start making your body stronger and getting ready, besides increasing your mileage. More important than which schedule you choose is that you must be sure to choose one. Start looking over the options far ahead of time. That way, you'll know more precisely what will be required, and that will help you make a wise decision. If I was to point you in a direction, I would probably lean toward Hal Higdon's schedules. I've been recommending his schedules for a long time, and people seem to do very well with them. They've been time-tested and worked for thousands and thousands of runners. That said, I believe all the schedules have good points. A word about Jeff Galloway's method. His method, his program, prescribes specific run-walk segments from the beginning of the marathon to the end. His schedules, too, have worked wonderfully well for thousands of runners, and not just beginning runners. Many experienced marathoners only use the run-walk Jeff Galloway method and do so with great success. The thing I like about Jeff Galloway's program is that it lowers the intensity. And when you lower the intensity, you lessen the likelihood of injury. When you're comparing schedules, look at total number of miles per week. If this isn't provided, then add it up yourself. Also, look at how many running days you have, and perhaps most importantly, look at the long runs. Some schedules will have you going no farther than 16 miles for your longest run, while others will build you up to 26. I have a strong opinion here. I don't think a first-time marathoner needs to go more than 20 miles, and I think 2 20-mile runs is all that's needed. That ability, with the strong, fresh legs you'll have after the taper, will get you there. Seriously, no one doesn't finish those last 6 miles after they've already run 20. We'll talk more about that in the next podcast. It's very important to believe in your schedule. The schedules I mentioned, and there are many, so please don't feel like you're limited to those. If you just Google marathon schedules, there are lots on the internet, and there are others and books that you can find. They were carefully constructed, and they work. Trust the one you choose and do not alter it. Trust it. A good schedule will work. But if you go tinkering with it and alter it, say by doing an extra long run or by increasing the mileage or doing extra cross training or shortening the taper, then you're asking for trouble. You may still have a successful marathon, but you'll never know how much better it might have been if you stuck to it and did it exactly the way the coach that designed it had planned. We'll talk more about that too in the next podcast. You'll notice that you never have 2 long days back to back, or like I said before, almost never. This is critical to give your legs time to recover. So the goal is to find the schedule that you like, one that works for you. When deciding, think about your work schedule and family responsibilities, and please keep in mind that you can't just go switching days willy-nilly. These schedules are carefully planned for the greatest benefit, and that includes careful consideration of when you need to rest, when you need an easy day, and carefully spaced, gradually increasing long runs. You'll even see that most of these coaches' schedules also include what I call fallback days. So you'll have increasing day, a long run that increases for maybe 2 weeks in a row, and then you'll have what I call a fallback week when you have fewer miles, so you get a little bit more recovery. Each coach does it a little bit differently. Okay, that's all for today. There's a lot more we can talk about, but I'll cover a lot more in the next 2 podcasts. There's easily a whole book of information for first-time marathoners, but I've certainly given you plenty to chew on. In the meantime, until I get around to writing that book, I promise to stick with this topic for at least 1 more podcast, maybe 2, probably 2. If I've triggered any questions, please send them to deb@mojoforrunning.com. And just let me take a moment here to apologize for being somewhat slow over the last couple of months, actually over the last 3 months, in responding to emails. I do try to answer them all myself, but my dad has been critically ill. He's actually had 3 strokes since July. So I have to tell you, a lot of my brain is always with him. And obviously a lot of my time is taken with that whole thing right now. So I'm doing the very best I can to keep up with everything. Please, please do send me any questions you have about a first-time marathon, because they really help. Because, after you've done a lot of marathons, you tend to forget what it's like to, what kind of questions would occur to somebody who's thinking about doing their first marathon. So I very much welcome your questions. As I record this, I am preparing, along with 31 of my Run Tampa group, 31 members of my Run Tampa group here in Tampa, Florida, to leave for Washington, D.C. in a few days for the Marine Corps Marathon. If you see anyone in a Run Tampa shirt, it will be me or someone from my group. Please say hi. If you see me, I'll look very different from the photos on my website because a few months ago, I decided, in honor of my 60th birthday on September 12th, that I would liberate myself from hair color. And so I had it cut very short, and I started growing it out, and then I just decided to go ahead and whack off all that brown dye. So if you see a woman in a Run Tampa shirt with very short gray hair, actually I like to call it silver hair, that will likely be me. Now, about today's quote. We all know that some people think runners are crazy, right? But that's okay. I don't expect everyone to understand us. We understand each other, and that's all that matters. But some people would say we're not even normal because we actually enjoy running. You've probably seen the t-shirt with the message that says, "My sport is your sport's punishment." That's pretty funny. In fact, I love it. Well, today's quote comes from Jodie Foster. She said, "Normal is not something to aspire to. It's something to run away from." If you decide to do a marathon, people will definitely think you're off your rocker for getting up in the wee hours of the morning on the weekend to run 20 miles. But I say, and I imagine Jodie Foster would say, embrace who you are and what you do. We all know why we do it, and we all feel the satisfaction.